Hi, thanks for joining us again to the third part of our webcast on how to build an application using Prism. In this series, we are building a modular application that aggregates search results from both Dig and Twitter. In the previous webcasts, we demonstrated how to create and load modules, and also how to use Visual Composition to create a region and load a dummy view into it. In this webcast, we're going to demonstrate how you can implement the Dig search view by using a separated presentation pattern called Model View View Model. And we're also going to create a Dig service that does the searching into the Dig web service and show you how to use dependency injection to inject this service into our view models. So now I'm going to hand it off to Bob, who's going to implement the view.
Now let's go back and add in the view implementation. And we will shut this down. And let's go over to our Dig module and our results view. And the first thing that we typically do in our views is we separate our view and our view models. And there's a couple reasons for this. One is that view models are much more testable than views are, because views typically rely on some kind of infrastructure for presentation. View models represent the logic and for the view, so it's a lot more testable. And the other reason is, particularly in WPF and Silverlight, it works well with the restyling efforts, so you have the ability to have a view model that could be placed directly in content and have views that are associated with that. And this is particularly useful in WPF and somewhat useful in Silverlight as well. So let's add another class that will represent the view model for these items. And the view models typically have all the things that you want to bind to in the view. So in this case, let's just create the class first. So we'll call this dig search results view model. Let this create. And in this view model, we want to provide for a couple of items that will the view is going to need. And one of those will be stories. And for the stories piece, I'm going to actually bring these over from another place. And I'm going to add in a new class for this. Dig story. And the dig story, I will just copy the properties in to make it a little bit quicker. But these correspond to, and we'll get there in a little bit, these correspond to the service, the dig service, and the information available from the dig service. Let's save this. So now let's add a property onto our view model that is a collection of these stories. And so here, I'll do a public observable collection of dig story. And this is something provided by the Silverlight or WPF object models that is a collection that notifies you when there are changes and can be bound to from WPF or Silverlight. And we'll call this stories. And in this case, I'll do a public getter. I'm going to do a private setter, and we'll only be setting this in our constructor, which I'll add now. And in this constructor, why don't I just create a new set of dummy stories? So I'll say stories equal new observable collection. So I will create my dig story and stories dot add new dig story. And in this case, we only need to set the title to get it to show up. And we'll again be creative. I am here, dig it as the story. And this should be enough to allow us to provide the basic view model that the view will need. So now let's connect the view and the view model together. To connect these together, this is going to happen through constructor injection again. So in this case, I'm going to go to my search results view. And what I want to do is, in the constructors, I want the dig search results view model. And I want to set it to something known as the data context, which is the the default binding context for most items in the view. And that, or this, should be all that we need to do to let the view use the view model and bind it appropriately. Now let's update the view that is going to be using these. So we don't want it to actually use the text block. We actually want it to use something else. And for simplicity, and because we stole this from Scott Guzblad, we will actually just create a list box. Stories list. This just sets the name of the list box. And we will set the items source equal to binding stories. Now we'll reload, we reload the view here. Let's compile this. Build succeeded. And now we will run this with F5. And you'll see that this actually did load in the story, but there was no visualization for it, so it actually just put in the type for the story. Not very useful. So now let's add the next bit of piece that will pull out the individual items for the story. Shut this down, go back here, and I will add in the what's known as a data template, which is the styling, and it will bind to the appropriate items within the story text itself. And again, for brevity's sake, I'm going to cut and paste this. And so this data template also needs some styling that we have. So let me cut and paste that as well. And it'll look like I'm adding a lot of stuff here, but this is all styling bits. You'll see the top part is part of the user control resources, which is actually in the wrong place. And here's the grid start. Our list box that we had before, now it's in a stack panel. Each item will be in a stack panel. And we're going to display some of the data. We're binding to some of the data off the user story. So here is the number of digs. We also have thumbnail and title. So we should get a little more interesting view now of the story. So actually the data template needs to be within a listbox.items. Item template. There, that looks a bit better. Now let's see if that will compile. And we can't see it because the size is wrong. We have no data context. So now let's run this. All right, and so now we have our basic view for a dig story. Next, we're going to add in the service that will connect to the real dig service, and Erwin's going to take us through that.
So what I'm going to do is add the dig service implementation to this. Now, the first thing to do that is going to be to add an interface that's going to be the contract for the dig service. So if I go back here, I will add still running. We'll add the interface. It's called the iDig service. Now this interface will have one method. Let's make it an actual interface. And this method will do two things. It will start a search, and as you might know, searching in Silverlight, especially web queries, are all asynchronous. So it will start a search, and it will provide with a callback mechanism to see, okay, when the search is done, what do I have to do after that? Now, using this interface, I can either start with the implementation of the service, or I can start with the implementation of the view. Now, let's start with the implementation of the view. But normally, I would do this test-driven, so I would add tests for this, but for now, just for simplicity, I won't. But this dig search view model should have a reference to the dig service. Now, I don't want to put in the actual implementation in here, because as I said, if I want to do this test-driven, I want to be able to test this view model in isolation. So what I'm going to do is just reference the dig service. And I'm going to need this, so I'm going to put it in a member variable. Okay. Now that I have it, I can actually call methods on it. In the next webcast, we are going to provide the communication mechanism between the search control and this search results view control. But what it can do now is just do a dummy search query. It's going to be against live data, but with just a pre-baked search query. Begin search. And what I'm going to pass in here is going to be query. Search for baseball. And what I have to put in here is the callback. So when the search is complete, I need to have a method that can receive an IEnumerable of dig story, so a list of dig stories that I can use to show my data in. So we'll call this on search complete. And of course, I have to create the implementation for this. Enumerable of type story. Call it new . So when the dig service is complete, it will call this method, and then of course I have to add all the stories to the already existing list of stories. And the only thing I have to do to show the stories that are returned by the web service is by actually adding them to the already existing list. So I'll clear them first. Stories are clear. Fresh list. And then I'll for each over it. Now, we haven't actually created the implementation of the dig search yet, but at least now I could plug in a mock dig search service, and I can test my functionality here in isolation. So now let's provide the implementation to the dig service. The first thing I have to do for that is to add a reference to system.xml.link, because I'm calling a web service and I'm getting an XML document back. So now that I've added the reference, I can add the actual implementation. So it's going to be a class called digService. And I won't bore you with typing in the entire implementation. It's not complicated, but it's just a lot of type work. So let's just make it a class that inherits from digService. And in order to do that, I need a begin search method. What this thing gets is an IEnumerable search complete callback. So we're going to call the actual live dig service web service, use the web client to do that, and because it's asynchronous, I have to provide a callback. And what I'm using now is using a lambda expression to say, hey, call this method and build up a list of stories. Now, of course, I have to create the method that builds up the list of stories as well. To do that here. And what you can see is that we get an XML document back, and we're just parsing it and using a link query to create for each item in the results, I'll create a new dig story object and return the list. We might also need a couple of using statements in order to get this to work, such as these and this one. System.xml.link. So if I add the last bracket here, and I just remembered there's one semicolon here that I needed to add, then I can build this, and as you can see, it works. The dig search results view model relies on the iDig web service, but we haven't actually specified what the implementation of that interface is going to be in this case. So that's what I'm going to do now. In the dig module, in the initialize method, I have to register the interface of the dig service against the actual implementation. Now, that registration has to be done in the Unity container, so I'll get a reference to that. Store it in a member variable. And now what I can do is I can register the type of the interface against the type of the actual implementation. So, register type, I dig service against the dig service itself. Now, this means that whenever somebody asks for a dig service, it will get a new instance of the dig service. If you want to create the dig service as a singleton, which is often the case with services, then I have to add something else. I have to tell Unity what the lifetime of this thing will be. And you have to use the container controlled lifetime manager for that. So I will pass that in. Now this is a very long name for, but it actually, all it does is say, hey, create the dig service as a singleton rather than create a new instance every time. So now if I run the application, you will see very quickly that the dummy dig story we added is added. And then when the dig service returns on an asynchronous from its asynchronous query, you can see that the list is actually filled with some live data. But if you look closely, this view was injected into a tab control, but the header of the tab is still empty. Now, of course, the shell doesn't know what kind of views are going to be added to this region, so it can't specify the name of the tab. So now the view should do that for it. And Bob is going to show us how to do that.
There's a convention we follow to provide the header information for any control that has header content, such as tab control here. And that is to have the view model actually provide a specific piece of information that the shell owner can look for off of any of the view models. So if I go back to our view model, I will add in this piece of information. In this case, I'm going to just make a new property for this. But first, I will stop the application so I can edit public string. I'm going to call it header info. This is just a convention we've used when developing Prism. And I will get, and I'll call it dig search results. So this can be anything. In this case, it's just a string, but it could have been anything I wanted to return potentially. So if I wanted to have returned a new content control or some other visual element or a video, I could have done that potentially. But in this case, it just makes sense to return a string. And now I will go back to the shell and have the shell look for this on the items that are placed within it. So I do this in the XAML. And I will have to extend this down. So what I need to do is provide a style that will know how to look for that particular template. In WPF this is built in, but in Silverlight we don't have the capability of specifying a header template value for tab control. So we've extended something known as our region adapter. And a region adapter is just the thing that takes the control and makes it work correctly with our regions. So in this case, I'm gonna cut and paste a bit of code here because it's a little too long to type efficiently. But I'll walk through this. Here's our tab control region adapter, and we have an item container style. And this style, we're saying, is targeted towards the tab item, and we're going to set the header template property on this to be a text block that binds to whatever is in the region that has a header info. So in this case, it's going to be the view model, right? That's the data context for the item in there, and it's going to offer up that piece of data. Yep, and one thing I need to make sure of is that the controls line up here. Here we called them basics, so I'll copy that. And here it was called control, but it should be basics to line up with the XML namespace. So now this should build, and it succeeded. So now if I run it, what we should see is that header tab will actually contain a value now from the view model. So let me press F5 to run. And it is now showing up right up here. You can see the dig search results tab value is set. And now you can see the query results come in as well. So that is how you can provide header info that you can use on any region that has a headered item. Thanks again for joining us today. This installment, we talked about how to do UI composition, and we showed a lot of detail on how to create the first view and some view model that brings up the dig results. The next piece we're going to talk about is communication, and in there we'll create a search control that will go on the top half of our shell, and the bottom half will have all the results, and we'll show how to connect those in a decoupled fashion. So thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you in the next episode.